Speaking to us with regard to our walk and trust, and that it is all by faith that we appropriate, and I think it's confirming the message and teaching that he has today. And we're going to look at a very familiar verse and chapter of Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And today we're going to call our teaching, Faith Cannot Be Understood by Mere Intellect. Faith cannot be understood by mere intellect. And this is the problem that we have. This is the problem that man has. This is the problem that people who are bound in religion, cults, you name it. It's because they're trying to understand, trying to walk, trying to believe God, but it is in the flesh. It is in the carnal mind. And unless God touches our lives, unless he puts a new and right spirit within us, it is impossible. Because God is revelation, and it takes revelation to understand and see Almighty God. And this is why the world is blind, and is blinded by the god of this world, the devil himself. And unless God touches our lives, we remain in that state. But even when we come over to Christ and we receive him as our Lord and Saviour, we still have areas of blindness that God is removing. And that is our overcoming life and walk. They are our deliverances. So that our trials, very often in nature, are to get us to see, to remove unbelief, to overcome, so that we walk deeper in the Spirit. And that's why we preach this end time teaching of the deeper life, because it's a deeper walk in the Spirit. And in the Spirit you can go as far as you want with Christ. The door is open. There are no limits. And so that is the walk for the overcomer and the sons of God that are making themselves ready in this last day. And I'm calling this teaching today, Faith Cannot Be Understood by Mere Intellect. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, which we know very well, but I really want to hone in on the second verse of this. Very often the first is emphasized, and rightly so, and the second verse can be slightly left out, but it's very important. And it says here, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Many of us want the perfect will of God, but there is a price to be paid for the perfect will of God. Now he says, he challenges us, I beseech you therefore, brethren. He brings it to our attention, which God so often does. And he does it by his mercy. So it takes the mercy of God for us to be presented, to put ourselves on that altar. It takes the mercy of God to receive that sacrifice, which is you, the giving of yourself. If it's not the mercy of God, then he's not going to receive it, and therefore we're wasting our time. So that's really what verse 1 tells us about. And it says it's our service. It's what we do. We're not forced into this, but it's what we do. But I want to hone in really to this second verse. And it says, and do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There are two key words here, which really means separation and to be transfigured or transformed. They are the two key words of verse 2. And so the first one is, we're not to be conformed to this world, and it means to be conformed. It actually means to be separated. It means to be set apart, as we know, under God, and in the case of God, set apart unto holiness. Because we know that the word holy means to be separated. You can be separated unto anything. Many people sacrifice, separate themselves, or for a season, unto something. And you can do it for religious reasons, you can do it for pagan reasons. So the idea of separation means to be set apart. In our case, we are set apart unto a holy and righteous God. So that is our separation. And we get this idea, which we know well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We get the idea of this in verse 16. And here in 1 Corinthians 10, which speaks here about fleeing from idolatry, from those idols, those dumb things, he says in verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? So here we get this idea that we are separated unto something. And in this case, we are separated unto God, unto Christ. Christ is our separation. We are separated unto him. And in that separation, we therefore partake of communion, which is a sign of Christ who has offered himself up to us. We take of his body, we take of his blood. And when we break bread together in communion, our communion, our identity is our separation unto God and each other. And that is why we call it fellowship, that word koinonia. You cannot have fellowship if you are following and bowing down to idols. There is no separation. There can be no fellowship. And that is why there is a problem in a lot of Christendom today, because of fellowship, because there is idolatry found amongst the members. There is not that separation. And that separation, if it's not a true separation, it weakens the fellowship. It weakens your relationship with God, that is, when you come together to worship him. Now, you may have a good and strong relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but that can be weakened or changed when you come together with other believers, because there may be some believers who are not paying the price like you are. And yet we're also told that we are to support the weak in the body of Christ. So we know what we do. We pray one for another. We pray for those that are weak. We pray for those, if the Lord has opened our eyes to see that some are still not really separated from the world, they're still bowing down to those idols in the world. That's why we pray one for another, as James says, that we may be healed, we may be delivered. A lot of our praying one for another, is working about a deliverance. That's what it is. That's the nature of this deeper life walk. And so here he says that the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And the bread which you break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? So we are in communion with him. You cannot be in communion with anything else. You can't with any other idol. Is completely contrary. And it says, for we though many are one bread, one body, for we all partake of that one bread. And so here we get this idea of our separation unto Christ. Again, let's turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians is time, chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 7. By the word of truth and by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left hand. So we get this idea of... verse 17. Sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch that which is unclean. I will receive you. I will be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now, we know that very well. But it says, come out from among them. Come away from those idols. Come away from still making friends with the world and relying upon those things that you think give you blessing and peace of mind, which they don't. The world cannot give peace of mind. The things that it produces cannot give peace of mind. And that's what it's saying. And it says not only that, but do not touch them. They're unclean. There is so much uncleanness in professing Christendom. That's the tragedy. You know, we've just had, I believe yesterday, women priests and vicars went on their march yesterday celebrating 20 years of liberation, and now they can become priests, and of course the next thing they're hoping is that they can become a bishop. And they were out on the streets yesterday in London celebrating. That, friends, is unclean. It is Jezebel. This is what Jezebel, that spirit, is doing to Christendom. It is violating the divine authority of God. It is violating headship. Headship is divine in God's sight. And that is what he has set in the world. But they can't see it. Because they are of another spirit, you see. And what do? We pray that God has mercy. That is the whole point. And so, we can't touch these things. You see, Satan comes as an angel of light. He deceives himself. Now you may be saying to yourself, well, you know, Pastor, it is very difficult to be completely separated from the world. There are still some things that I still look to and still rely upon. Well, this is where deliverance comes. This is where we walk humbly before Almighty God. This is where God is working the negative in our life to work about the positive. Thank God that he does this. That's why all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. You know, when the Apostle Paul, he saw from Romans 7 to Romans 8, when he saw that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, when he gave that, when he wrote that, was his life perfect? We know that it wasn't. He too was still overcoming. But what was perfect in that sense was he had settled it. He was not going to take second best, but he settled it that God would work that deliverance within him, where he would no longer be relying upon the world, its allurements, its lies, its deceptions, because he had been touched by separation. You have to be touched by separation, because God is separate. And we still try at times, don't we, to think that God will bless these things when we're still in the world. And we try to spiritualize it. We try to say, oh, well, God's blessing is upon it. You know, we do need to be honest sometimes and say, Lord, please show me where you are blessing and where you're not blessing. I think we're going to be in for a bit of a surprise in our lives. We really will. And we all have to be open to this. But God is working this deliverance in our lives. And we know at times we still go to the arm of the flesh. But if we truly love the Lord, it's something within us that can't really settle to that. We know it's God's second best. And we must always look to his very best. And he will work that if we want that. But we also know that Rome was not built in a day. And so we have to be open, we have to be honest, we have to be mature about all of these things. Because I'm talking about separation. When we understand separation and holiness, we understand, or begin to understand, also the promises of God, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Because those promises are very much connected with a separated life. You cannot have those promises still living in the world. They're not designed for the world. They're not for the world, because the world doesn't see the promises of God. The promises of God are a revelation and can only be seen and experienced for the sons of God. Amen? Amen. So there we are. That's why faith cannot be understood by the mere intellect. And we are still being delivered from the intellect, from the sense realm that we still at times look to and rely upon. It is a separation of desire, of motive, of action. What are our desires today? Are our desires to follow the Lord, to seek him, to seek his way, his will, and so forth? Well, we have to be truly honest about that. Our desires aren't always to put God first, the kingdom of God. Our desires still sometimes can be motive for ourself, for self. Desire what I want and so forth. And I'm not going to say you get rid of that one, you get delivered from that one just overnight. That is still a working that God is working within us. To put the kingdom first costs us. Sometimes it costs relationships. Sometimes it can cost, you know, it has even cost marriages. Because Jesus comes with a sword. That sword divides. That is its whole nature. We can't change it. And God says, my grace is sufficient. And sometimes we have to stand for the truth. And we're going to be unpopular. We're going to find that sometimes they will turn away. Well, praise God for the privilege. Because they're the signs of separation. Sometimes when they walk away from you, that is God actually separating you from it and from the situation. He's actually done you a favor sometimes when they turn away from you. He's worked that separation for you. And you know, when they turn away from you, you can say to yourself, well, thought they loved me, thought they were friends. You know, and it's really revealed itself for what it is. Thank you, Lord, for opening my eyes, because I was being deceived there. You know, Many of us as Christians, we will see our traitors. We will see our Judases. We will. And it's not that we hold grudges against them or unforgiveness. We have to pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's all about separation, not conforming with the world. It's separation from all this religion and false teachers, these seducers that so many of them are out there trying to seduce you in whatever way. This separation is the loss of all earthly things. That is the desire, the want, the lust. It is all loss. It is everything. It's a complete deliverance of lusting, wanting anything that this world can offer and give. It's a complete separation. It is a complete deliverance. And God is going to work where we no longer have any desires because it's motive. And you watch, when you get that deliverance and you're through, you will see heaven open and blessing. You mark my words, and you will not have to be striving for it. You will not have to be believing in that sense for it. You won't have to keep going round and standing on the word and quoting all the time and quoting all the promises of God, because the promises of God are just pouring out of heaven. Because you are not lusting for it. You see, that's the difference. But it takes separation to do it unto holiness. It's the loss of all earthly things. Let's see 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 19 to 21. 19 to 21 of chapter 2, 2 Timothy. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and used for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And so it goes on. And read verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Separation. That's what it means. You depart from everything that tries to get you to sin, to compromise. Whatever it would be. Now, in separation, we can see how God works in one saint, separating them, and in another, he works the same thing, but he's separating them in a different way. Because for one, it's not so much of a problem, but for another, it is. So we have to, in our prayers, to be very sensitive. You don't have a problem in that area, and you're starting to pray, or you're getting impatient with them. Why do they have such a problem with this? I don't. Because we're all different. We're different characters, different personalities. We're all coming out of a different background, you see. So this is where we need to be loving and sensitive and prayerful with each other. It isn't your problem, but it is a problem to them, you see. And also, love, where you see a weakness in a brother or sister, you're not going to play on that weakness. You're not going to control them because of that weakness. That's satanic, that is devilish. And yet I've seen that go on in the house of God, and it is wrong. It is wrong, you see. You who are strong, you bear and encourage the others who are weak. That is what love will do. That is what separation will do. Because we're separated unto a holy life. And we note in what we have read here that our ministry then becomes effective.